Today's gospel reading comes from Luke's gospel, the 17th chapter, Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Here ends the reading from God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we pray that the gift of your Spirit would be present in this place, that it would shape the words that are offered here, that it would shape the reflections and the reception of your word, that it would shape us so that we may be your disciples. Pray, O God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, my wife thinks I'm a jerk. She loves it when I do this in sermons. Only sometimes she thinks I'm a jerk, not all the time. Like, when we go out to eat, I have this bad habit of being oblivious to the waiter stopping to refill my glass, and I just don't even acknowledge that the waiter did this. And I try to tell her that it's just because I'm so focused on her, on our conversation with her. Like I said, she thinks I'm a jerk sometimes. And it's just that I just don't say what I know I should say. And I'm as convinced of my jerk status in that moment as anyone. It's not, I don't say what I know I should say. I don't say what I've been teaching my children to say, actually, which is, "Thank you. Thank you." It embarrasses her and it embarrasses me too, because my recognition of the people around me who deserve my thanks can be so pitiful. So contrast that with the woman who gave me this. Sometimes, those of you who are mostly only here on Sundays don't know, but sometimes people call the church during the week looking for help. They are looking for help for a utility bill that they can't afford to pay, or they have rent that they can't afford to pay, and they have an eviction notice in their hand, and they don't know what else to do. They have people who are depending on them, and they can't afford to buy groceries. It happened a lot in Alexandria just by virtue of where we were located, and I would find myself almost once a week helping someone, and the help was never really simple to give. It was always complicated trying to navigate particular situations that people would find themselves in. And so this one woman called, and she needed help with her rent. I think it was her rent. And she was, caring for some grandchildren who were also living with her, and she was facing eviction. They were about to be evicted, her grandchildren and her. And so we helped her out with her rent. We cut a check for her, to her landlord, but she didn't have transportation, so she couldn't come to the church to get this check. So I had to drive it and deliver it to her. And so I went and I knocked on the door. And she came to the door, and it was almost like she couldn't really believe I was there. Like, she wasn't really expecting me to show up. And yet there I was. And so I gave her the check, and she disappeared back into the house, and she asked me to wait. She said, "Wait right here. I'm gonna go inside." And she came back with this in her hand, and she said, "I don't have any way to pay you back. I don't even know how to say thank you, but today you're my guardian angel, and I want you to have this." And I could see there was like a small collection of little porcelain figurines like this behind her. And I told her, I said, you don't have to do this. I really, it's fine. I feel bad taking this." And she said, No, I want you to have it. I want to be able to say thank you. And now I keep it in the center console of my car, not to remind me of how much I helped her, but to remind me that the least I can do is say thank you to the waiter who brings me more water. Why is it that gratitude and appreciation do not come more naturally to many of us? We idealize thankful people, people who find the humility to recognize blessings that we take for granted. We particularly romanticize the poor who are willing to say so humbly thankful, who are so thankful for what little they do have, and it admonishes us to be more thankful for all that we do have. And we see, I think we see in them a vision, an awareness, a sensitivity to God's presence in the world that we lack. And because we know that if we could maintain some of that vision for ourselves, if we could be more aware of God's presence in the world, if we could be more thankful for the things we have, if we could be more appreciative of all that we've given, we know that we would be happier, we would be more contented, we would even be more generous. Instead of being, you know, like annoyed all the time by the stresses in our lives or counting up how much more our neighbor must be making than we are because of the new car they have in the driveway. But usually we stop there with that sentimentality, the experience of serving those who have less than us and experiencing the posture of their gratitude that they seem to exist in amazingly. It lasts on us about as long as a dose of Tylenol lasts. Because the fact is that the marginalized are always acutely aware of their dependence on others. They don't have the choice that you and I have about being dependent on other people sometimes and not at other times. Not to romanticize being marginalized, it's just that they know a truth that we think we have enough to ignore. But in reality, this is not a truth that we can choose to ignore. It is dangerous for us to assume that those whose need is just more obvious than ours in the political and economic system that we live in is somehow different than our need. Especially when, in many cases, the need of the other people around us, those who are in a position to be grateful just for the little bit they have, are grateful for the little bit they have just because some of us don't want to ever feel like we need anything. We want to feel like we don't need anything or anybody. We want to be wealthy and healthy and safe, and often we are wealthy, healthy, and safe because of those who are not wealthy, healthy, and safe. We want to chalk it up. It's our education. It's our morality. It's our general goodness that has put us in this place where we do not need. This passage in Luke it's not really about the nine who don't come back. Because actually, when you start to think about it, they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. He said, go to the priest, which is where they were going. And the reason that Jesus sent them to the priest is because the priest was the one who could say, you are clean. He was the one. So if you had any of the skin diseases in the first century that could be classed under the term leprosy, that meant that you lived separate from the general population. You were in your own sort of group, all of you together. And you couldn't be integrated into the rest of the community because if you were around anyone else, you would make them unclean. And so you hear when they approach Jesus, the Bible says they kept their distance because lepers are used to keeping their distance. And so the only person who can say you're clean again and restore them, the priest is the gatekeeper, the one who can give them a place of belonging again, who can give them their lives back. And so Jesus sends them to the priest. And so this moment in front of the priest is the transformation from being totally dependent on all the other people who are in this hell with you and totally dependent on the mercy of those who are so scared to death of being like you that they must keep their distance. It's an escape from the hell of being dependent on only on those who are like you and then being integrated back into this place where you are just like everyone else. But the Samaritan, in his wholeness, in his being made whole by Jesus. Maybe it is precisely because he is a foreigner, because there's no use for him to go to the priest. The Samaritan and Jews were a theological different. The Jews thought of Samaritans as heretics. They've screwed it up. They don't have it right. They've perverted God and our belief system. And so there's no use for him to go to the priest, because even if he doesn't have leprosy, he's still not going to belong. But he is not yet, because he's not gone to the priest, because he has not been reintegrated, he has not lost his sense of dependency on Jesus, who has made him well. The Samaritan comes back because he has a keen awareness that he has been given something that he could not have achieved for himself. And this is the essence of believing in God, is it not? That there is God in our lives, present in our lives. And without the sustaining and creating work of God in our lives, we would not exist here. This is the stuff of faith in Jesus, that there is Jesus present in our lives. And without the loving and merciful and determined work of justice that Jesus does, we would be lost to each other, and we would be lost to God. Is not this the nature of faith in the Spirit sneaking up on us, being present to us, giving us eyes to see in the heart to have the gratitude, at least for this gratitude, at least for some fraction of the time, even for just a moment? And Jesus tells the Samaritan, he says, your faith has made you well, which means for Jesus, at least, faith and gratitude go together. One comes with the other. Because to believe in God is to know that you are not an island, that you do not belong to yourself, that you do not exist to yourself, that you are dependent on someone, on something else, and that you have been woven into the fabric of God's creation, into the family of God, that you are not only dependent on God, but you are as dependent on all the other things God made. Samaritan expresses his faith by expressing his gratitude, and Jesus tells him, he says, your faith is what's made you well. Like, you don't have leprosy anymore, but your faith made you whole. In other words, his posture and his gratitude has made him aware of who his Savior is, who his healer is. And by extension, he knows now, because he knows who Jesus is and he knows who his healer is, he knows who he himself is in relation to that. And now he knows just how dependent he is on God. Now he knows just how dependent he is on those around him. He knows who God is. He knows who his brothers and sisters are. He knows who he is. And so research shows us that people who have a healthy sense of gratitude have lower stress levels. They're generally more hopeful, that even having a healthier sense of gratitude has an effect on your immune system. It makes your immune system stronger. You can resist disease better when you have a healthier sense of gratitude. In other words, by acknowledging that you need others, we become who we hope to be by insisting on the strength of our own will and determination. You see what I mean? That it's when we acknowledge that we need God and we need each other that we finally get healthy. And so to say thank you, don't think about it this way, but to say thank you is to acknowledge that we are dependent on each other and on God. You realize when you say thank you, what you are saying is, I could not have done this without you. When you say thank you, you say, who you are has changed who I am. When you say thank you, you're saying, I needed your help. And the thing is, maybe the reason that we don't say this as often as we should is because actually we do know that. That's what we're saying. And because dependence, interdependence, this is not a virtue in America. The worst thing you can do is say, I didn't do this by myself. And so to say thank you is to admit that we needed help, or that that help made us better. We acknowledge what we can't do ourselves, and nothing in our culture is as bad as acknowledging that you couldn't pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Even though some people don't have those metaphorical boots, even though some people have had their metaphorical boots nailed to the floor, nothing is as bad as saying, I needed your help. I needed you to be healed. I needed you so that I could have hope. I needed you to affirm me for who I am. I needed you so that I could become who I hope to be. This radical sense of individualism that I have to do it by myself. And so many of us, we have just enough stuff. We have just enough education. We have just enough family and friends to trick us into thinking that we are doing it by ourselves. And how much does that pull at the fabric of who we are and how we are? How much does it account for some of the rending of the fabric of our country and our culture because every one of us is determined to do it by ourselves or to insist that whatever is wrong with you, you must fix it by yourself? And so what if the virtue of the church in this particular moment is to proclaim that what we have come to know in this by the message of salvation that Jesus gives us, that by being saved by Jesus, we have come to face full on that we cannot do any of this by ourselves. And to not believe that lie when our culture tells it to us. That somehow you're here and in your right mind and you drove a car wearing nice clothes with food in your stomach because of how good you are, or how smart you are, or how responsible you are. That all of that has to do with the interdependence that we have on each other and the God who has provided for us. Jesus makes the Samaritan whole. He says to him, your faith has made you well. Not the cleansing of your skin. Not the cleansing of your skin. Your faith has made you well and whole. Who you were meant to be. I wonder if we got into a habit of saying more clearly to Jesus and to each other, thank you. I could not have done this without you. Thank you. Who you are has changed who I am. I would not be who I am without you. I wonder if we got more in the habit of saying, I need your help. If Jesus might say to us, your faith has made you well. Amen.